them to the bottom of the trash and went without. Maybe you should get a change of underwear when you go home to get your wall charger, her brain said. Maybe you should shut up, Georgie thought back at it. After she was dressed, she sat on her bed and looked at the rotary phone. Time to deal with this. She picked up the receiver and steadily dialed Neil's parents' house. His mom picked up after the third ring.
Hello?
Hi, Mrs. Grafton, Georgie said.
Yes?
It's Georgie.
Oh, hi, Georgie.
Neil's still asleep. He must have been up pretty late. Do you want him to call you back?
No, I mean, just tell him I'll call later.
Actually, I already told him I'd call later, but I was going to ask him something. She couldn't ask about the president. That would seem mental.
Do you happen to know who the Speaker of the House is?
Neil's mom hummed.
It's Newt Gingrich, isn't it? Did it change?
No, Georgie said. I think that's right. His name was at the tip of my tongue. She leaned closer to the base of the phone.
Thanks. Bye. Thanks.
She dropped the receiver onto the hook and stood up suddenly, taking a few steps away. Then she dropped to her knees and crawled under the bed, reaching for the telephone outlet and unclicking the plug. She pulled the cord away, then backed out from the bed and crawled to the opposite wall, staring at the nightstand. She had to deal with this. It was still happening. She had to deal with it. Possibilities. 1. Persistent hallucination. 2. Really long dream, or maybe normal-length dream perceived as really long from the inside. 3. Schizophrenic episode. 4. Unprovoked somewhere-in-time scenario. 5. Am already dead? Like on Lost? 6. Drug use. Unrecalled. 7. Miracle. 8. Interdimensional portal. 9. It's a Wonderful Life? Minus angel, minus suicide, minus quasi-rational explanation. 10. Magic fucking phone. She had to deal with this. She sat in the car and plugged in her iPhone. No missed calls from Neil. From 37-year-old real Neil. Why wasn't he calling her? Was he really this pissed? Neil, Neil, Neil. She dialed his cell phone and didn't even flinch when his mom answered.
Georgie?
Margaret.
I knew it was you this time, his mom said, because I saw your photo on the phone. Who are you supposed to be? A robot?
The Tin Man.
Hey, Margaret, who's the Speaker of the House?
Oh, I don't know. Isn't it that Republican with the piercing eyes?
I don't know, Georgie said, realizing that she really didn't.
Who came after Nancy Pelosi?
It's not Newt Gingrich, though, right?
Oh, no, Margaret said. Didn't he just run for president?
Are you doing a crossword?
That would have been an excellent cover. She should have told the other Margaret she was doing a crossword.
Yes, Georgie said. Hey, can I talk to Neil?
He just stepped out.
Of course he did.
Didn't he call you yesterday? Margaret asked.
I told him you called.
I must have missed him, Georgie said.
Here's Alice. Do you want to talk to Alice? Alice, come say hi to your mom.
Hello?
Alice sounded far away. Alice?
Talk louder, Mommy. I can't hear you.
She sounded like she was sitting across the room from the phone.
Alice!
Georgie tipped her own phone away from her ear and shouted, Pick up the phone!
I am, Alice shouted. But Dawn says you shouldn't put cell phones on your head or you'll get cancer.
That's not true.
What?
That's not true, Georgie yelled.
Dawn said. Dawn's a nurse.
Meow.
Is that Numi? Let me talk to Numi.
I don't want Numi to get cancer.
Put me on speakerphone, Alice.
I don't know how.
It's the button that says speaker.
Oh, like this?
Georgie put the phone back to her ear. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Alice, you're not going to get cancer from the cell phone, especially not from a few minutes on the cell phone.
Meow.
Alice sighed. It's not that I don't trust you, Mommy, but you're not a nurse, or a doctor, or a scientist.
A scientist,
Numi said, giggling.
Scientists make potions.
How are you guys? Georgie asked.
Fine, they both said.
Why did Georgie even ask that question? It always made them clam right up. She'd be better off arguing with them about brain cancer. Where's Daddy?
He's at the grocery store, Alice said.
We're gonna make all Grandma's famous Christmas cookies, even the one with Hershey's Kisses that look like mice. They have cherries for bottoms, Numi said.
Alice was still talking.
And we're gonna make peanut butter balls and green Christmas trees, and Grandma already said I could use the mixer. Numi's gonna help, but she has to stand on the chair. And Dawn says that sounds dangerous, but it won't be, 'cause Daddy will hold her.
Nurse Dawn. That sounds wonderful, Georgie said. Will you save me some cookies?
Meow.
Sure, Alice said. I'll have to get a box.
Meow, Mommy.
Meow, Numi.
We have to go because we're getting the kitchen ready.
Alice, wait. Will you give Daddy a message?
Uh-huh.
Will you tell him that I called to say I love you?
I love you too, Alice said.
I love you, honey, but tell Daddy that I love him. Tell him that's why I called.
Okay.
I love you, Alice. I love you, Numi.
Numi's in the kitchen with Grandma now.
Okay.
Bye, Mommy.
Georgie started to say goodbye, but Alice had already hung up. Someone was knocking on her windshield. Georgie lifted her head off the steering wheel. It was Kendrick. She couldn't really hear what he was saying. She rolled down the window.
Are you okay?
He asked.
I'm fine.
Okay.
Kendrick nodded.
'Cause the thing is, you look kind of like you're sitting in your car crying.
I'm done crying, she said. Now I'm just sitting in the car.
Oh. Well, okay.
Georgie rolled the window back up and hid her face in the steering wheel. There was more knocking. She looked up.
You're blocking me,
Kendrick shouted, so that she could hear him, not because he was angry, and motioned at the open garage where his truck was already running. Sorry, Georgie said. I'll just... She put the car in reverse and backed out of the driveway. She'd just go to work. Options. 1. Call doctor. End up on drugs, possibly institutionalized, would at least earn Neil's pity. 2. Consult psychic. Pros, very romantic comedy. Cons, sounds time intensive. Have always disliked strangers' living rooms. 3. Pretend this never happened. Just have to avoid yellow phone, apparently. 4. Destroy yellow phone? Conduit to the past, too dangerous to allow. Nightmare scenarios possible, i.e., what if Marty McFly's dad doesn't take his mom to the prom? 5. Christ almighty, I do not have a conduit to the past. 6. Call doctor? 7. 7. 7. Keep playing along?
Ma'am?
I'm sorry, yes?
That was a venti vanilla latte, right?
Right, Georgie said.
You can go ahead and drive through.
Someone honked, and Georgie checked the rearview mirror. There were at least 5 cars behind her. Right, she said. Sorry. If this were a movie... If there were an angel, or a machine that told fortunes, or a magic fountain, if this were a movie, it wouldn't be random. A random call to a random point in the past. It would mean something. So what did this mean? Christmas 1998. Georgie and Neil went to a party. They fought. Neil dumped her.
At least she thought he was dumping her. And then, a week later, he proposed. And now she was talking to him during that week, that lost week. Why? Was she supposed to change something? If this were Quantum Leap, there'd be something specific she was supposed to change. This is not Quantum Leap, Georgie. This is your life. You are not Scott Bakula. But what if... Christmas, 1998. They fought. Neil went home. He came back. He proposed. They lived not exactly happily ever after. Wait, was that what she was supposed to fix? The not exactly happy part? How was she supposed to fix something like that, over the phone, when she wasn't even sure it was fixable? Christmas, 1998. A week without Neil. The worst week of her life. The week he decided to marry her. Was Georgie supposed to make sure that he didn't? Chapter 14.
I don't know what to say, Seth said. He was leaning on the whiteboard, frowning at her Metallica t-shirt. On the one hand, your hair is wet, so you've obviously showered and changed. I applaud that. On the other, I miss the velvet jogging pants. Georgie? Hello? Hey! Georgie stopped trying to plug her phone into her computer and looked up at him. He'd kicked away from the wall and set his hand on her shoulder. I know I've been asking you this all week, he said, but I'll try one more time. Are you okay? She wound the USB cord around her fingers.
If you could travel into the past and fix a mistake, would you?
Yes, he said, without even thinking about it. Are you okay?
Yes, you would. You'd mess with the past?
Absolutely. You said there was a mistake. I'd fix it.
But what if you messed everything up? Georgie asked. Like, what if that one action changed everything?
Like in Back to the Future?
Yes. Seth shrugged.
Meh, I don't believe it. I'd go back and fix my mistake. Everything else would work itself out. World War III isn't going to happen just because I got a higher SAT score.
But if you'd gotten a higher SAT score, you might not have gone to ULA. And then you'd never have met me, and we wouldn't be standing here right now.
Pfft, he said, lowering an eyebrow. Do you really think that's all that brought us together? Circumstance? Location?
He shook his head.
I find your perspective on space and time to be very limiting.
Georgie went back to fumbling with her laptop. Seth took the cord out of her hand and plugged it in.
I printed out what we worked on yesterday, he said. Why don't you take a look?
Neil had noticed Georgie was different. On the phone last night, he'd mentioned it. Maybe he'd figured out what was happening.
There was no way he'd figure out what was happening. Why would Neil ever jump to the completely implausible and correct conclusion that he was talking to her in the future?
Georgie hadn't said anything to date herself. She hadn't mentioned the internet or the war. Or their kids. She hadn't tried to warn him about the stock market or 9/11.
You don't sound like yourself tonight,
he'd said. It was after they'd been on the phone about half an hour. Why not? Georgie'd asked. God, it was like talking to a ghost. Something weirder than a ghost. Ascending.
I don't know what it is.
Is my voice lower? That would make sense. She was 15 years closer to menopause. Maybe it's the crying.
No, he said. I don't think so. You seem like you're being really careful.
I am being really careful.
You seem like you're not sure of anything.
I'm not, she said.
Yeah, but Georgie, sure of everything is kind of your signature color.
She laughed. Was that a Steel Magnolias reference?
You know all about my Sally Field crush, he said. I'm not apologizing for it now. She'd forgotten about Neil's Sally Field crush. I know all your dirty Gidget secrets, she said.
It was the Flying Nun who really did it for me.
Had Georgie been sure of everything at 22? She'd had a plan. She'd always had a plan. It seemed like the smart thing to do. Have a plan and follow it until you have solid reasons to change course. Neil had the opposite approach. His one big plan, oceanography, had gone sour on him. And then his plan turned into keeping his eyes open until something better came along. Georgie used to think she could fix that for him. She was really good at making plans, and Neil was good at everything else. This seemed like a no-brainer. You could just do this for a living, Georgie said one night at the Spoon before they even started dating.
Entertain you? Neil said. Sounds good. How are the benefits?
She was sitting across from him, always sitting across from him, leaning on his drafting table. No, this. Stop the Sun. You're good enough. I thought you were already syndicated.
You are very kind, he said. Very wrong, but very kind.
I'm serious.
I couldn't do this for a living.
He gave the woodchuck he was drawing a cigar.
It's just messing around. It's just doodling.
So you wouldn't want to be Matt Groening?
With all due respect, no.
Why not? Neil shrugged.
I want to do something real. I want to make a difference.
Making people laugh is real. The corner of his mouth twitched.
I'll let you take up that mantle.
Do you think that comedy is just messing around, too?
Honestly?
He asked. Of course, honestly.
Then yes.
Georgie sat up straighter and folded her arms on the table. You think my dreams are a waste of time?
I think your dreams would be a waste of my time, he said. I wouldn't be happy.
So what would make you happy?
Well, if I knew that, I'd do it.
He looked up at her then, his eyes pained and almost too sincere for the circumstances, for the bright lights and the basement of the student union. He held his dip pen over the margin of his comic and let it drip.
I mean it. If I figure out what makes me happy, I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm just going to grab it. I'm just going to do it.
Georgie nodded. I believe you. Neil smiled and looked down, sheepish now, shaking his head a bit.
Sorry. I've had too much time in my own head lately.
She waited for him to start inking again. You could be a doctor, she said.
Maybe.
You have doctorly hands. I can imagine you performing very neat stitches.
Weird, he said. But thank you.
Lawyer? Neil shook his head. Indian chief?
Don't have the connections.
Well, Georgie said, that's all I've got. Wait, butcher? Baker? Candlestick maker?
None of those sound bad, honestly. The world needs bakers.
And candlestick makers, she added.
Actually, I've been thinking about...
Neil glanced up at her, then looked down, licking his lips.
I've been thinking about the Peace Corps.
The Peace Corps?
Really? Yeah, it'd give me something worthwhile to do while I figure the rest out.
I didn't know there still was a Peace Corps.
That or the Air Force,
Neil said. Aren't those two radically different directions?
Not at all.
He glanced up over her shoulder, then lowered his eyebrows and looked down. Georgie knew that expression. She sat up and turned around to see what Seth wanted. Seth had stepped all the way into the production room. Usually, he didn't come past the door. But tonight, he sat down on a stool near Georgie and leaned onto a desk.
Hey, Neil. What's going on?
Not much,
Neil muttered without looking up. Seth nodded and turned to Georgie.
So we're just waiting on that cover story. Mike and Brian are still hammering it out.
Georgie looked down at her watch. The Spoon went to press tonight. She and Seth were the managing editors, so they'd have to wait for the story, set it, then send the files to the printer. It'd be a late night.
There's no reason for both of us to stay, Seth told her. You should just take off.
That's okay, Georgie said. I'll stay. You go home. Seth wrinkled his nose. She was pretty sure he did it because it was adorable. She was pretty sure Seth had practiced all his facial expressions and gestures in front of a mirror and worked out which ones made him look like a cross between an Abercrombie model and a kitten.
I don't want to dump it on you, he said. You might be here all night.
I really don't mind, she said. Don't you have a date? He nodded slowly.
I do have a date.
With the lovely Brianna, I've heard.
With the lovely Brianna, Seth said, still nodding. He pursed his lips and twisted them to the side.
Go on, she said. You can owe me. Seth narrowed his eyes at Georgie, then at Neil, then seemed to make up his mind.
Okay. He stood up. I owe you.
Have fun on your date, she said. He got as far as the door, then spun around.
You know what? I'll call Brianna. I can't just abandon you like this. It's gonna be late. You'll have to walk to your car by yourself. Don't worry about it, Neil said.
Georgie looked back at him, surprised to hear his voice.
I'll be here, he said. I'll make sure she gets to her car.
Seth stared at Neil. Georgie was pretty sure they'd never made eye contact before. She waited for one or both of them to start on fire.
What a gentleman, Seth said. It's nothing,
Neil parried. Great, Georgie said, trying to signal Seth with her eyes, wishing they had a nonverbal sign for, leave me alone with this cute guy, you idiot. Problem solved. Go ahead, Seth. Go on your date. Get down with your bad self.
I guess that's settled then.
Seth nodded again.
All right. Well, see you tomorrow, Georgie. You still coming over to my room?
Yep. Give me a call when you sweep out the lovely Brianna and all of her underthings.
Right, he said, and finally walked away.
Georgie turned back to Neil, feeling fluttery.
You have terrible taste in sidekicks,
he said after a moment. Writing partner, she corrected. Neil did walk her to her car that night, and he was a perfect gentleman. Much to Georgie's disappointment. Neil had sounded different, too, last night on the phone. His voice was a little higher. His thoughts came out looser. Neil with less clench, less control. He'd sounded like the boy on the other side of the drafting table. Chapter 15. Seth and Scotty both liked to be laughed at. As long as Georgie laughed at their jokes, they usually wouldn't notice that she wasn't contributing to the brainstorming, that she was just writing things they said on the whiteboard and underlining them. But today wasn't usually. Seth was still watching Georgie like he was trying to figure out what was going on. Well, he could keep on trying. He was never going to come up with magic fucking phone. Though Georgie was a little worried he'd figure out she wasn't wearing underwear. Seth and Scotty brainstormed. Georgie brain hurricaned. What if it was happening for a reason? What if she was supposed to fix what was wrong between her and Neil? What's wrong wasn't such an easy question to answer. Oh, she could answer it broadly, a lot. A lot was wrong between them, even on good days. The breakfast in bed and coming home early days. Days when Neil's eyes were bright, when the girls made him smile and he made them laugh. Easy days. Christmas mornings. Coming home late days when Neil would catch Georgie at the door and crowd her against the wall. Even on good days, Georgie knew that Neil was unhappy and that it was her fault. It wasn't just that she let him down and put him off and continually left him waiting. It was that she'd tied him to her so tight because she wanted him, because he was perfect for Georgie, even if she wasn't perfect for him, because she wanted him more than she wanted him to be happy. If she loved Neil, if she really loved him, shouldn't she want more for him than with me, always with me? What if Georgie could give Neil the chance to start over? What would he do? Would he join the Peace Corps? Would he go back to Omaha? Marry Dawn? Marry somebody even better than Dawn? Would he be happy? Would he come home from work every night smiling? Would Dawn, or better than Dawn, already have dinner on the table? Would Neil crawl into bed and pull her close to him, fall asleep with his nose in the hollow of her neck? Georgie had gotten that far in her imagining, to Neil spooning with his more suitable than Georgie wife, when she imagined Neil's second chance kids in this second chance world. Then she slammed the door shut on all this hypothetical happiness. If the universe thought Georgie was going to erase her kids from the timeline, it had another fucking thing coming. She went to the bathroom and cried for a few minutes. That was one good thing about being the only woman on the writing staff. Georgie almost always had the bathroom to herself. Then she spent the next hour mentally throwing the yellow rotary phone down a deep well and filling it in with concrete. She wasn't going to touch that thing again. It wasn't really a conduit to the past. It wasn't magic. There was no such thing as magic. I don't believe in fairies. Sorry, Peter Pan. But Georgie still wasn't going to risk it. She wasn't a time lord. She didn't want a time turner. She felt weird even praying for things because it didn't seem like she should ask God for something that wasn't already part of the plan. What if Georgie accidentally erased her marriage with these phone calls? What if she erased her kids? What if she'd already screwed something up? Would she even know? She tried to remind herself that this was all an illusion, that she didn't have to worry about the dangerous implications because illusions don't have implications. That's what she tried to remind herself, but she wasn't sure she believed it. Illusion, delusion, mirage, magic fucking phone. Korean tacos again? Seth asked. Georgie nodded. After 2 months of hanging out in the Spoons production room, Georgie was 53% sure that Neil liked her. He put up with her. That seemed to mean something. He never asked her to go away. Was she really going to put that in the plus column? Not asking her to go away? He talked to her, but only if Georgie talked to him first, if she sat across from him long enough. Sometimes it seemed like Neil might be flirting with her. Other times she couldn't even tell whether he was listening. She decided to test him. The next time Neil came down to the Spoon, Georgie said hi, but stayed at her desk, hoping that he might come to her for once. He didn't. She tried it again a few days later. Neil nodded when Georgie said hello, but he didn't stop or walk over. She told herself to take the hint.
"I notice you seem to be avoiding the hobbit hole," Seth observed.
"I'm not avoiding," Georgie said. "I'm working."
"Oh, right," he said. "You're working. I've noticed your uncrackable work ethic all those nights you barricaded yourself back in the hobbit hole just as soon as Bilbo showed his face."
"Are you complaining about my work ethic now?"
"I'm not complaining, Georgie. I'm noticing."
"Well, stop," she said.
"Did he break it off? Were you too tall for him?"
"We're the same height, actually."
"Really? That's adorable.
like salt and pepper shakers.
Georgie must have looked 53% wrecked because Seth let it drop. Later, when they were working on their column, both of them huddled in front of Georgie's computer, Seth gave her ponytail a solid pull.
"You're too good for him,"
he said it quietly. Georgie didn't turn from her screen.
"Probably not."
He pulled her hair again.
"Too tall, and too pretty, and too good."
Georgie swallowed.
"I'm not worried about you," Seth said. "Someday your prince will come.
And you'll do your best to scare him off."
"I'm glad that we both understand the terms."
He pulled her hair. "That hurts, you know."
"I'm trying to get your mind off the emotional pain."
"If you do it again, I'm going to slap you." He immediately tugged on her ponytail, gently this time. Georgie let it slide. Seth always had to force Georgie to go to parties. Once she was there, she was fine. Once she was there, she was usually great. If not the life of the party, certainly one of its most valuable players. People, new people, strangers, made Georgie nervous. And nervous Georgie was much more extroverted than regular Georgie. Nervous Georgie was practically manic. "It's like you turn into Robin Williams in 1982, Seth told her.
"Oh, God, don't say that. That's mortifying."
"What? 1982 Robin Williams was hilarious. Everybody loved 1982 Robin Williams.
"I don't want to be Mork at parties."
"I do," Seth said. "Mork kills."
"Cute guys don't want to go home with Mork," Georgie groaned.
"I think you're wrong," he said, "but I take your point."
It hadn't gotten better over the years. Georgie still got nervous at parties and pitches and big meetings. Seth said their careers would be over if Georgie ever realized she was awesome and stopped freaking out about it. Not long after Georgie gave up on Neil, Seth talked her into going to the Spoon Halloween party. Seth was dressed like Steve Martin. He had a white suit, and he'd spray-painted his hair gray, and there was a gag arrow on his head. Georgie was going as Hot Lips Houlihan from MASH, which just meant fatigues, an olive green t-shirt, and dog tags. Plus, she'd blown out her hair. She figured she must look okay because Seth seemed distracted by her breasts. As soon as they were inside the party, he was distracted by somebody else's breasts. There were a lot of girls here for a spoon party. There must be some cross-pollination. Maybe somebody's roommate was a business major. Georgie grabbed a Zima, then poured it into a cup so she wouldn't look like she was drinking Zima. She'd already started nervously chatting at some guy dressed like Maggie Simpson when she saw Neil on the other side of the room. He was leaning against a wall between two clusters of people, watching her. When Georgie didn't look away, he raised his bottle of beer not quite to his chest and nodded his head. She squeezed her cup until it dented, then tried to nod back. It was more of a spasm. Georgie returned her attention to the guy dressed as Maggie Simpson. Why would a guy dress like Maggie Simpson? He was trying to guess who she was.
"That chick from Tomb Raider?"
Georgie looked back at Neil. His head was tilted to the side, still watching her. She felt herself blushing and peered down at her drink. Maybe he'd come over. Maybe Neil would finally walk 15 steps out of his way to say hello to her. Georgie glanced back at him, just as he was glancing up again from his beer. He wouldn't even lift his entire head to look at her. Fuck it. "Sorry, would you... excuse me, I just saw my... my friend's over there. Excuse me." Georgie backed away from Maggie Simpson and squeezed through an extremely pathetic dance circle to get to Neil's wall. There wasn't much room between him and the people next to him. He slid over to make room for her.
Hey,
she said, leaning in sideways. Neil had his back to the wall, and he was holding his beer with both hands. He didn't look up.
Hey, Hot Lips.
Georgie grinned and rolled her eyes. How'd you know who I was? His lips twitched just enough to give him dimples.
I know about your weird preoccupation with 70s sitcoms.
He took a drink of beer.
I'm surprised you didn't come as Detective Wojciechowicz.
Couldn't find the right tie, Georgie said. Neil nearly smiled. She glanced down at his clothes. He was dressed like normal, jeans, a black t-shirt. But there was a silvery white pattern creeping up from his sleeves and down from his collar. He must have painted it himself. It looked almost crystalline.
Give up?
He asked. She nodded.
The first frost.
He took another drink. It's lovely, Georgie said. Someone had just cranked up the music, so she said it again, louder. It's lovely. Neil shrugged his eyebrows. I have to admit I'm surprised to see you here, she said.
You shouldn't be.
You don't seem like party guy.
I hate parties,
Neil said. Me too, she agreed. He quirked an eyebrow at her.
Really?
Really?
I could tell by the way you walked in and everybody shouted, Georgie, and blew you 1,000 air kisses, and the stereo started playing Gettin' Jiggy with It.
A, you're exaggerating, and B, just because I'm good at parties doesn't mean I like them.
You prefer things you're not good at?
Georgie took a frustrated gulp of Zima and thought about walking away. Obviously. Then there was a whoop of laughter behind her, and somebody fell against Georgie's back, pushing her into Neil's shoulder. She held her cup against her chest so it wouldn't spill on him. Neil quickly turned toward her, making more room on the wall and steadying her for a second, his hand on her arm. Sorry, the guy behind her said. No worries, Georgie told him. She and Neil were standing closer now, their shoulders almost touching on the wall. They really were almost the same height. Georgie was 5'5", Neil might be 5'6", maybe. It was nice, having a guy's eyes right there where she could reach them, if he'd just look at her.
So, Neil said, you came with your not boyfriend, right?
He's not my boyfriend.
Right. I think I saw him come in. He's dressed like the jerk.
Georgie closed her eyes for a second. When she started talking, her voice was so quiet, she wasn't sure Neil would even be able to hear her. Sometimes I think the only reason you ever talked to me at all was because you knew it pissed off Seth. His reply came cold and quick.
Sometimes I think that's the only reason you ever talked to me.
She opened her eyes. What?
Everybody knows.
Neil's chin was practically touching his chest. That's how not he was looking at her.
Everybody at the Spoon says you're crazy about him.
Not everybody, Georgie said. I've never said that. Neil shrugged harshly and went to take a drink of his beer, but the bottle was empty. Georgie pushed away from the wall and took a step backwards. She needed to get out of here before she started crying, but first, you know what? This is why you're standing alone at a party, because you're a jerk. You're a jerk to people who actually, inexplicably, like you. She took another step backwards, into some other guy. Hey, Georgie, the guy shouted. Are you Private Benjamin? Hey, she said, trying to get past him.
Georgie, wait,
she heard Neil say. She felt a hand on her wrist, firm but not tight. She could still pull away. Neil kept talking, but the music buried it. God, she hated parties. He stepped in closer. Close. They were standing in a crowd of people who were all trying to decide whether they wanted to dance. Neil's head dipped toward hers.
I'm sorry,
he shouted in her ear, and then something else.
What?
Georgie yelled. He seemed frustrated. They looked in each other's eyes for a few seconds, a few overwhelming, to Georgie, seconds. Then he started pulling her back toward the wall. Georgie followed. Neil tightened his grip on her wrist. He cut through the crowd and led her down a short hallway, stopping in front of the only closed door. There was a piece of caution tape stretched over it and a sign that said, "Stay out. If anyone goes in here, my roommate will end me. Have mercy. Whit." Whit worked at the spoon.
We can't go in there, Georgie said.
It's fine.
Neil opened the door and ducked under the tape. Georgie followed. He leaned over and turned on a floor lamp without letting go of her wrist. The door swung mostly closed behind them, and the roar of the music receded. Neil turned back to her and set his jaw.
You're right,
he said in his normal voice. His hand dropped, and he rubbed his palm on his jeans.
I'm sorry. I'm a jerk.
Seth would agree with you there.
I don't want to talk about Seth anymore.
You're the one who brought him up.
I know. I'm sorry.
Neil had a way of holding his chin down and looking out the top of his eyes, even when he wasn't sitting at the drafting table.
Can we go back and start over?
How far back? Georgie tried to fold her arms, but she was still holding that stupid Zima.
Back to the wall,
he said.
Back to you walking across the living room toward me. To you saying, I'm surprised to see you here.
Are you saying you want to go back to the living room?
No, just go ahead. Say it again now.
Georgie rolled her eyes, but she said it.
I'm surprised to see you here.
You shouldn't be,
Neil said. He lifted his chin and looked directly into her eyes. For the second time in 5 minutes. For the second time ever.
I'm here because I knew you'd be here. Because I hoped you would be.
Georgie felt like a snake was unwinding itself in the back of her neck and along her shoulders. She swayed a little, and her mouth clicked open.
Oh.
Neil looked away, and Georgie took in 3 gallons of air. He was shaking his head.
I'm sorry,
he said.
I wanted to see you. But then I got angry. I didn't want to. You've been ignoring me.
I haven't been ignoring you, she said.
You stopped coming back to talk to me.
I thought I was bothering you.
You weren't bothering me,
he said, facing her again.
Why would you think that?
Because you never came to talk to me.
I never had come to talk to you.
Neil looked bewildered.
You always came to me.
Georgie finished her drink so she could put down the cup. Neil took it from her. He set the cup and his bottle on a desk behind him.
I thought I was bothering you, she said. I thought you were just humoring me.
I thought you got tired of me,
he said. She brought her hands up to her forehead.
Maybe we should stop thinking.
Neil huffed and nodded, smoothing down the hair at the back of his head. They were both quiet for 12 awkward heartbeats. Then Neil motioned toward the bed.
Do you want to sit down?
Oh,
Georgie said, looking at the bed. There was another sign there.
No, seriously, he will end me. Get out of here, okay? Whit.
I don't think we should, she said.
It's fine.
They should leave. They were violating someone's privacy, but
Georgie looked up at Neil with his black t-shirt and his pale skin. He was smoothing down his hair again, ridiculously. It couldn't be even 1/4 inch long in back. His elbow was in the air, his triceps flexed. Georgie slid against the bed, sitting on the floor. Neil looked down at her and nodded.
Okay,
he murmured, sitting next to her. After a few seconds, she nudged her shoulder against his. So, what have I missed?
When?
Since I've been sitting at my own desk, she said, playing hard to get. Neil smiled a little and looked down. His eyelashes brushed the top of his cheeks.
Oh, you know, ink, talking rabbits, singing turtles, a chipmunk who wishes he was a squirrel.
Your comic last week was one of my favorites.
Thanks.
I put it in my save box, she said.
What's that?
It's actually just a box. I hate that feeling, you know, when you're thinking about something you've read or heard, and you thought it was so smart at the time, but now you can't remember it. I save things I don't want to lose track of.
Must be a big box.
Not as big as you'd think, she said. I started putting your comic strips in there before I knew you were you.
Before you knew I was me.
You know what I mean.
Thanks.
Neil's legs were bent in front of him, and he was picking at loose threads on his thighs. He seemed uncomfortable. Georgie had that feeling again, that she was the only one keeping the conversation alive. Maybe she should shut up and see if Neil would say anything. No, no more games. Would it be easier to talk to me if you were holding a pen? Neil lowered his eyebrows. And his head bounced.
Huh, I guess so. Too bad I don't smoke.
What?
Oh, you know, something to do with my hands.
Oh, Georgie said. And then, because she wanted to, she reached out and took his hand, laid her palm on the back of his hand, curled her fingers behind his thumb. Neil looked down at their hands, then slowly turned his palm up, bending his fingers around hers. Georgie squeezed. Neil's magic hand. This was the left one, so maybe it was slightly less magic. Neil's wide, square palm. Neil's short, straight fingers. Softer than Georgie expected. Smoother than her own. Neil, Neil, Neil.
Before I knew you were you.
He shook his head.
There is no before I knew you were you.
Georgie pushed her shoulder into his, and Neil pushed back, still looking at their hands.
I saw you the first time I came down to the spoon,
he said.
You were sitting on the couch, and Seth was there, and you kept shoving him away. You were wearing that skirt you have, the blue and green plaid one, you know, and your hair was a mess.
She jabbed him with her shoulder, and he smiled a one-sided, one-dimpled smile for a second before he shook it away.
It looked like spun gold. That's what I remember thinking. That your hair wasn't a real person color. You're not blonde, you know. Your hair isn't yellow. It isn't yellow mixed with white or brown or orange or gray. It defines four-color CMYK processing. It's metallic.
Neil kept shaking his head.
Whit told me your name, and I didn't believe him. Georgie McCool. But I started reading everything you wrote in the spoon, and every time I came downstairs, there you were. On the couch or at your desk, always surrounded by half a dozen guys or just him. I thought.
He shook his head some more.
When you came back to introduce yourself, Georgie, you didn't have to introduce yourself. I always knew you were you.
She pulled Neil's hand into her lap and turned to face him. And then, because never in her life had Georgie been able to wait for someone to kiss her first, she pressed her mouth into his cheek. Neil clenched his teeth, and she felt the pressure on her lips.
Georgie,
he whispered. He closed his eyes and tilted his head toward her. She kissed his cheekbone from nose to temple, then rubbed her lips in his cheek again, wishing he'd smile. He was holding her hand tight.
Georgie,
he whispered again. Neil. She kissed his jaw from ear to chin. He started to turn his body toward her, slightly, and she reached for his shoulder to make it happen faster, to make him come closer. He caught her hand by the wrist, but still let her pull him in. Georgie thought they'd kiss then. She tried to find his mouth, but Neil kept rubbing his cheek into hers, and it felt so nice, all the soft and hard parts of their faces catching on each other. Cheekbone on brow, jawbone on chin. Neil's skin was flushed and warm. His hands were holding firm. He smelled like bar soap and beer and fabric paint. God, this was better than kissing. This was... Georgie arched her neck and felt Neil's chin, then nose, then forehead pushed down to her collarbone. She dropped her face into his short hair and closed her eyes. When Georgie was a kid, this was what she'd pictured whenever she'd heard the word necking. Two people rubbing their faces and necks together, kissing like giraffes. She'd had a crush on her babysitter's son, and this was what she'd fantasized about doing with him, rubbing her neck into his, burying her face into his Simon Le Bon hair. She was 9, and he was 15, and this fortunately never happened. She lifted her chin again, and Neil dragged his face back up to hers, humming almost helplessly in her ear. Whatever this was, non-kissing, hardcore nuzzling, it felt so good that the next time Neil's lips were over hers, Georgie ghosted right past them, pulling his mouth open with her cheek instead. Neil hummed again. Georgie smiled. The bedroom door opened.
Are you fucking kidding me? Somebody said. Can't you people read?
The music from the living room banged back into the bedroom. You Oughta Know by Alanis Morissette. Georgie looked up at the doorway. It was Wit from The Spoon. Wit, who lived here and wrote beseeching notes. Neil let go of Georgie's arm, but she caught his hand. She held both his hands now, fast.
Oh, Wit said, looking a little dumbfounded.
Neil.
And Georgie. Sorry, I thought some asshole was using your room. Carry on, I guess.
Wit closed the door, and Georgie started giggling.
This is your room?
Neil's head dropped.
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me?
He shrugged. I don't know. Why don't you come back to my room? It sounds sleazy.
It sounds better than let's go make out in this stranger's room. She spread her fingers and pushed them through his, squeezing his hands tight again. Then she leaned toward him, mouth first. Yes, the non-kissing was good, but there were Neil's perfectly formed lips right there, a testament to symmetry and cell division, and surely kissing would be even better.
Georgie,
he said, turning his head away. She kissed his cheek again, his ear. Neil's ears were perfect, too, even if they did stick out at the top like pot handles. She opened her mouth over his ear, and Neil gripped her hands, using them to push her away.
Georgie, he said. I can't.
You can, she said. You are.
No.
He let go of her hands and took hold of her shoulders, holding her back.
I want to, but I can't.
You want to? Neil locked his jaw and closed his eyes, then growled.
I can't. Georgie,
I have a girlfriend.
Georgie jerked away from him, like he was on fire. Like he was on fire, and it wasn't her job to put him out. His hands fell from her shoulders.
Oh, she said.
It's not.
He seemed so angry. Probably angry with himself. He licked his lips.
I mean.
It's okay, she said, putting her hands on the floor and pushing herself to her feet.
Of course it wasn't okay. Nothing was okay. I'll just... Neil was scrambling up, too.
Georgie, let me explain.
No. It was her turn to shake her head. No, it's okay. I'll just... She reached for the doorknob.
It's not what you think,
he said. Georgie laughed. No.
No, it's not.
She stumbled through the door and closed it behind her. God, it was loud out here. It was...
God.
Neil. Of course he had a girlfriend. Because he liked her and wanted to kiss her, and every time they talked, it felt like her brain was fizzing out her ears, so it only stood to reason that he had a girlfriend. How could Neil have a girlfriend? Where was he keeping her? Somewhere other than the Spoon offices, clearly. God, 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 it's not like he'd led Georgie on. He'd never sought her out. It was always Georgie hanging off his drafting table, making eighth-grade eyes at him. Neil hardly even looked at her. Spun Gold, CMYK, a half a dozen guys. Seth was going to love this. Georgie wasn't going to tell Seth. She wasn't going to tell anybody. God! She'd thought that Neil liked her. Better than he liked anyone else, anyway. He even said that he liked her. He said he wanted to kiss her, though apparently not enough to actually do it. She should never have tried to kiss him first. She should never kiss anyone first. Georgie always kissed first. She always fell for the guy in the room who seemed the least interested in her, the guy who was toxically arrogant or cripplingly shy, or both. The guy at the party who looked like he'd rather be anywhere else. You should try dating nice guys, her friend Ludi used to say in high school. They're nice. I think you'd like them. Boring, Georgie'd said. Pointless. Not pointless. Nice. They'd had this conversation in the cafeteria. They were waiting by the door so that Georgie could casually get in line behind Jay Anselmo, who was 2 years older than they were, really into No Doubt and competitive car stereos, and who would undoubtedly ignore her. What's the point of making a nice guy like me? Georgie said. Nice guys like everybody. You shouldn't have to make anybody like you, Georgie. You should want to be with somebody who can't help but like you. Nothing good is easy. Not true, Ludi said. Sleep, TV, Jell-O instant pudding. Ludi was a riot. Georgie missed her. I don't want to go out with Jell-O instant pudding, Georgie said. I would marry Jell-O instant pudding. Georgie rolled her eyes. I want to go out with Mikey. I thought you wanted to go out with Jay Anselmo. Jay Anselmo is Mikey. Georgie explained. He's the guy in the Life cereal commercial who hates everything. If Mikey likes you, you know you're good. If Mikey likes you, it means something. Georgie'd ended up kissing Jay Anselmo one night after a football game at a party in Ludi's backyard. He'd let her kiss him all through her sophomore year, and then he'd gone off to college, and Georgie'd found a few other guys to kiss. She never really thought of kissing first as a problem. Georgie tended to hook up with guys who appreciated the clarity. But tonight, in Neil's room, it was a problem. She'd read Neil all wrong. She'd thought he was a Mikey. She'd thought he was the grumpiest hobbit in the Shire. But really, he just had a girlfriend. Georgie was done kissing first. The next person she kissed was going to have to do all the work, assuming she ever found anybody who thought she was worth it. Georgie wanted to go home.
She wanted to cry all the way there, thinking about Neil's sideways, symmetrical mouth and the way he could freehand a perfectly straight line. She wanted to find Seth. Chapter 16. Georgie's cell phone chimed. She picked it up. Earth to Georgie. She looked up from the text message to Seth, who was sitting across from her at the writer's table. He met her eyes, then looked down at his phone and